feel like God is just really testing you. And the Bible says, think it not strange when all these fiery darts come against you. Amen. So we know that trusting God is, it's not always going to be something that is going to be easy to do, because His ways are higher than our ways, even though the heavens are from the earth. Amen. So our text today is Jeremiah 29. If you have your Bibles, go to Jeremiah 29. I don't know if you'll get it on the board up here today. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 15. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you, and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give to you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whither I caused you to be carried away captive, because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets in Babylon. You may be seated. Have a good lesson today that's maybe help us understand when we're in being tested or in trials and tribulation, how Satan can come against you. Amen. Our focus thought for today, I will trust God's plan for my life no matter what my circumstances. Amen. I've been in some circumstances when I first come to God, I was a really mess out in the world. The world didn't like me, and the church didn't like me either. You know, so I was in kind of a place that only God could help me. Only God could change me. And God does change us. If we don't change, there's something wrong, because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. I bought a new car, and I drove it around for a week, and ain't nobody noticed I got a new car. Billy said, I noticed you got new tires. Well, I bought the same car, Ford Escape, same color. So see, I didn't change any, so nobody noticed. So you have to change. There has to be a change. And my wife, she don't like change so much, so she bought the same car. Just a few added features, you know, nothing to brag about or anything like that. But I think about the first car I had, and that was back in the early 60s, and I bought an old 48 Chevy or Ford, one of the two, but it was just really old, and they rotted away quick. And then it was up in Michigan, and you drive down the road, and water would splash up on your feet through the floorboard. So this car is pretty good. It's a whole lot better than that. But Jeremiah 29:11 is our focus verse, and it says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can you say praise God for that? Amen. Because even though the children of Judah was fixing to go into, they was going into captivity, and God said, now you're going to be there for 70 years. Now judgment had already come when Jeremiah didn't have anything good to say to Judah. Everything was, no, you're going into captivity. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say, what you do. The judgment of God has fallen, and you're going into captivity for 70 years. And that's what happened. See, when God says something, when God says something in His Word, He'll do it. Because if He don't, then we can't trust it. But everything God says is for a purpose and for a reason. And verse 10 of 29, Jeremiah 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works toward you, and causing you to return to this place. Amen. He caused them to leave. It wasn't the armies of the enemy that caused them to leave. It was God that caused them to leave. amen, because of their sins and their iniquities and all the things that they were doing against God, judgment came upon them. And we can expect, a lot of times we expect all good from God. Today, they've watered it down to the place where, well, you come to God, then after that, everything you ask, you shall receive. But we find out something. God's going to test you. Amen. Everything I've asked for, I haven't received. I've asked amiss, most likely, to consume it upon my own lust. Amen. But God, he wants us to trust him no matter what the circumstances. You'll know if you can serve God or not when the times get bad. That's when you know. And if you keep hanging on to God, you keep doing what God would have you do. But Jeremiah, he dealt with false prophets constantly, contrary to his prophecy. They had the false prophets, they coming in and telling the children of Judah, they said, listen, you know, good things are coming. Good, don't listen to that false prophet. Sound a little bit like today, don't it? Everybody wants to hear a good thing. Everybody wants their ears tickled a little bit. But it just ain't going to happen. Not all the time. God's going to test you. Amen. God's people, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God expects us to look like it, act like it, and do his word and be obedient unto him. Now, if we don't do that, we just have a social club. Amen. But we have the thing. We have God Almighty wanting to do a work in us. I'm afraid that it's getting to the point today, if the world has something, we jump and grab it real quick. Amen. We become worldly. And that's how we get lukewarm. Amen. When you're worldly, you're lukewarm in God because you're not giving all your attention to God and what God would have us to do. All right, Jeremiah 2 and 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? They wasn't teaching the things of God. And they that handled the law knew not me. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. We need to ask ourselves something. If what I'm going to do, is it going to be profitable to God's work? Is it going to be profit? What profit is it? Amen. We need to ask ourselves that thing and say, what good is it going to do? And for the kingdom of God, not for the world, but for the kingdom of God. Is it going to profit his kingdom? It might be a little thing you think, well, it's just a little thing, but it's a little fox that spoils the vine. And we have to understand that. It don't hurt us to look like Christians and act like Christians. We are Christians. Amen. So this is what God expects of us. But today there's just no absolute truth. And it came because this is what the world wants. The church is not leading the world anymore. The world is leading the church. I'm sorry, this is me, and this is, and if I'm not going to preach or teach this with authority, then I don't need to be up here. Amen. I need to give it the way God wants it to be given. Amen. The absolute truth is nothing for certain today. Nobody wants to say anything for certain. But the word was not of private interpretation. Now, we take that for us the way we interpret it. But what that means is when the apostles wrote down the word of God, it wasn't their private interpretation of what God said. They didn't interpret it and then write it down. They wrote it down like he said for it to be written down. And that's how they did it. The things that breaks relationship with God, I found these in some of the commentaries I looked into, said, whoever pits God's grace against God's word is not teaching you the truth. God is not the author of confusion. All of his word is good. All of his word is profitable for doctrine. Every bit of it, every word, every line, every dot. Those who emphasize God's grace to diminishing of the absolute truth are perverting the gospel of Christ. We've watered down what the apostles taught to almost nothing. We accept grace. But we want that to be, you know, nothing required of me. They just want grace. Well, if it ended at the Gospels, I could maybe agree with you. But there was other words, and I'll show you some in what I have here today, that God gave this to the apostles to write down, and it had as much power as what Moses' writings had for us today. Had the same power. Amen. The same. We should give it the same respect as they were supposed to give Moses and his laws and things that he wrote down respect. There's no boldness in presenting the Word of God. Some say we should just content ourselves with saying, when I say something in the Word, well, this is what I believe, you know. You don't have to believe that. This is just what I believe. No, sir, I don't apologize for anything that is said in the Word of God. I apologize for nothing. Amen. But I will tell you, I do stand to be corrected. Amen. You think I'm wrong, correct me. You know, take me aside and say, brother, I think you're wrong about that. But when we do that, we try to take away the discomfort so people don't feel like they really have to respond to that. That's what you do when you say that. You're saying, really, I don't know either. This is just what I believe. But we can't do that. But it takes away their discomfort. And when we do that, and here we are today, boldness is discharged while uncertainty is exalted. It's a regard to or represented as being of little worth. That's what we do. Amen. When we really don't preach and teach this thing with boldness and authority, amen, you're counting it as being of little worth. When I say, well, now that's just what I believe. You're saying, well, it really doesn't mean anything. It's all right any way you believe it. But I don't think we can do that with the Word of God. But I think it's where it's headed. Amen. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Titus 2 and 14 and how we should present the Word. Titus 2, 14 and 15. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Profitable. Amen. Profitable for the kingdom of God. The things that we do have a profit to it. What is it going to do? What is it going to cause? Everything that is done causes something. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. When it comes to the Word of God, if the man of God, whoever is preaching or teaching the Word, amen, he shouldn't be concerned about someone not liking what he's saying if he's in the Word of God. Now, if he's in himself, and I have been under a few messages where people were in themselves, that don't work too good either. But we have to stay in the Word of God, and everything we say, amen, we have to back up by the Word of God. Now, what happened in Jeremiah's day was that that the people of God got so far away from God through their sin. Now, this was an end time. Something's fixing to happen. Now, that's where we are today, too. That's where they was when they did get their kingdom built back. They did get their temple built back after 70 years. But they was never the same people. Now, I have seen people come, and I've seen people go. And a lot of times, just about every time, that anyone that I have known to walk away from God, they emphasize God's grace to the diminishing of the absolute truth. They don't put them together. And they use that as their feel-good thing to make them feel good about what they're doing, about leaving and walking away from God. Well, I don't have to have all this. But God wants us to have all this. Amen. And the doctrine, the things that we read in the New Testament carries us much power for the New Testament as Moses did for the Old. And it carries as much weight and it deserves our respect. Now, Jeremiah's ministry extended from 627 B.C. until the fall of Jerusalem, 586 B.C. And you're minus 17 years from that, before 16, before they got back. Amen. And King Cyrus, he's a Gentile king. God moved upon him to help them to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. He helped them. They went back. They got back into the city, but didn't much change, because when Christ has come, everything was messed up. It was, again, it's an end time. Amen. We have to trust God no matter what the circumstance. We have to stay true to him. Amen. But Jeremiah's ministry was a ministry of judgment. We're on this side of the judgment. We better thank God we're on this side of the judgment. But this is when we prepare ourselves, amen, to be ready, amen, when Jesus Christ comes. To resist is to resist God. And that's the way it was with the children of Judah. To resist that, what God said was going to happen, was to resist God. It was going to happen. And you know what God said about us and about what Jesus coming back for those that have made himself ready? That is just as much of a prophecy and has all the power that they had back there in the Old Testament. And it came true exactly the way they said it would. And we have to look at that. But we know that people, they come, they go, and I don't understand. I do know this, that when I came to God, I was in a terrible mess. And I knew I was in a terrible mess. I was in such a terrible mess that it set me down for years. I never believed I was worthy to be up here to do any kind of work like this. Amen. But maybe like in Jeremiah's day, they had the atonement. And I believe that they do just like we do today. They're in the same place. They look at maybe some that are trying to talk to them. They say, look, the atonement's done. The priest did that. Now we can do our own thing. It's just Jesus Christ. It's all about the atonement. But they had other things that God demanded of them to live. After that came the law to live by. Amen. We have the sacrificial system that was put in place. And the atonement came, and it pushed things ahead every year. But they had things that they had to do for their sins in the meantime. They were still held accountable for their sins. Matter of fact, that's how they got into the mess when Jeremiah came. They were so persistent in their sins, amen, shameful and persistent sins, that they wouldn't stop. So judgment came. But there's not going to be that. God ain't going to come down and tell us that. Now look, you're going into captivity for 70 years because of your sins. Now you get back there and you get it all together, and I'll come back in 70 years, we'll have this stuff all straightened out. We don't get that. What's coming now is going to go into eternity. And we have to do what we can to make ourselves ready for that. Show you the apostles, John 16. I hope they can get this up there. But John 16, verse 13. Now he's talking to the disciples here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And they did that. They've showed us things to come, the things that we can be watching for. But the things that they said would come, they're going to come. There's no getting around it. It's going to happen. It's been in the Bible prophesied. It's going to happen just like it did in Jeremiah's day, just like it did in Isaiah's day, Moses' day, all the way down. It's going to happen. There's nothing that we can do to stop it. We can't ask for more time. God has an appointed time. But we don't know what it is. But in Proverbs 3 and 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. If the world would live according to the Bible, we wouldn't have any poor people. The ones that are better off would take care of them, because everything would be perfect. But today you try to take care of people, then come the freeloaders. And they mess up the whole system. Why? Because we're not run by someone perfect like Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have sin. We have greed. Amen. We want everything our way. I want things my way. But it's not going to be your way. It wasn't their way, and it is going to be our way. But I thank God I'm still on this side of the judgment. I still have time. Amen. And we should look at this time as, you know what you have, you know how many years you have? You have 70 years, give or take. You have 70 years to get things right with God. And that 70 years that they had in Jeremiah's time, you know what it did? It did away with the old crowd. And he taught and brought up a new generation. And we are a new generation in Christ Jesus. Amen. He got rid of that old crowd, and in come a new crowd, a new bunch. Every 70 years, there's a new bunch here on this world. Every 70 years. And we have that much time to do our work for God. It may not look like it's worth it right now, but oh, when we get into eternity, this is just a space of time. It's like a vapor, puff, and then it's gone. Amen, but we have 70 years. And Jeremiah had, and during that 70 years when they went into captivity, amen, I believe that they knew why they went. I believe that they had this extra chance that God has given them to get things right. See, when we have problems, we expect instant deliverance. But maybe God's going to give you a 7-year trial. We just don't know. God is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he had dealing with mostly with false prophets. And you know, that has been in every dispensation. Right at the end of it. Right when people had just enough time to mess everything up, God came. But that's usually what happened. But the Psalms 90 and 10 says, the days of our years are 70. And by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. Yet in their strength, labor and sorrow. So what if you get 10 more years? Just labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Some good news right there. We're not like the animal. Remember, the Bible says the animal goes down, and we go upward. I have a niece that's really an animal lover. She really gets excited when I say, you ain't going to have your dog up there. Well, she, well, who said? I said, the Bible said. And I said, all right, if you won't believe your dog goes to heaven, go ahead. But during that time, Psalms 90 and 12 says, so teach us to number, what it means, the uncertainty of our days. Our days. That we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Think about what you do. What good is it going to be good for the upbuilding of God's kingdom? You know what? I believe I'm in the truth of God. You know why? Because ain't nobody else got it like we got it. I don't know why. Such an easy thing to see, but yet they don't have it. They even have scholars that I seen on Facebook there that. Even some, a lot of the high up people, scholars, they say the apostolic people has the baptism right. They have the oneness of the Godhead right. Then why don't they do it? Mm-mm. When you get marred down in tradition, that's a miry clay, buddy. It's a hard thing to pull your feet up out of. And that's what happens. But they was going into captivity, and we have our 70 years. And we are, in a sense, in captivity. We have this 70 years to do what God would have us to do. Not to play, not to have a good time, not to run around in circles and that kind of stuff, but to get God's plan right. That's what he wants. Jeremiah 29:5, he said, go build ye houses, dwell in them, and plant gardens, eat of the fruit of them. You know, we fear the law because we know that they're enforced. But now the lawyers had gotten this thing to the fear of the law is beginning to fade. And look at our lands becoming lawless. And when the fear of God begins to fade, the church becomes the same way. It does. It's nature. It'll teach you that. And then 29 verse 6 says, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that they may increase there and not diminish. He said, go on, live. Have your work, have your sons and your daughters, your houses, and all of those things. But you have to keep God in his place. See, we have to have those things. God knows that. Make the best of this 70-year captivity or curse that we have. Verse 7, Jeremiah 29:7, and seek peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away. He said, I've caused this captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. That's what's happening today, ain't it? All those people in Congress that come into this country and stuff, all, they're praying for us, you know, so we can, they're trying to start wars. But we're supposed to pray for our country. Amen. If you don't, guess what? You ain't going to have peace. Many come to this country and they hate the country they left, but they want us to be just like them. It's the strangest thing. I can't figure that out. But it is what it is. But that doesn't mean anything to us. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Verse 8 of Jeremiah 29:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, not let your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. They was there in his day. They're there in this day because we'll see in just a minute. Neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. Many people think they can walk by their own way. Some people say, I'm not a bad person. It don't matter if you're a bad person or a good person. It doesn't change what God says you have to do. I know a lot of people out in the world, I think some of them are better than some of us. They're good, good people. But it don't change the word of God. They still got to come by God's plan. They were still born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Every one of us, they still have to come this way. Because if we could have been good enough, the Bible says Christ would not have had to come. But we can't be good enough. Jude 1:8, now this is for us. It's the last book in the Bible. It says the end time in the Bible. Jude 1:8. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious one. Jude 1:17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, they spoke these things. They wrote these things when they wrote what they had seen. How they told you there should be mockers, ungodly, mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. It carries the same power back here as Moses did. If it said it, it means it. Amen. Jeremiah 29, verse 9. For the prophecy falsely unto you in my, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. During this 70 years, amen, we should be seeking the truth that's in God's word. We say, oh, the Holy Ghost will lead me and guide me into all truth. The Holy Ghost led the apostles and guided them into all truth, and they wrote down what God wanted us to know. First off, you're going to get your truth from the Bible. If you don't, you're going your own way. If you don't get it from the Bible, you're going your own way. Take what it just say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Check it up with the Bible. See if you can do that. Most of the time, they will pit grace against the absolute truth. They will play Jesus against the apostles. And that just can never be. Can never be. Verse 8. I think I read that. They prophesied falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. But Jeremiah, but I read Job 14 and 1. Man that is born of woman is short of days and full of trouble. I don't care if you've been in church or out of church, you can say amen to that. Because it's the truth. Amen. We have 70 years. 70 years. Some don't get it, and some get more than that. But as you can look out there, you can say 70, 80 years is it. That's what it is. Jeremiah 29 and 10. For this saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. God has an expected end for us. But you know what they had to do? The judgment came upon them. They had to go and endure that 70 years. And during that 70 years, they had to get back into a place that they could call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God, the things we go through, it's not, God's not, he's not giving us evil. His thoughts toward us is not that. But we have a duty, if you want to call it, down here. 70 years. Amen. To get things right with God. God gave the children of Judah 70 years. Because he knew it would take it. In other words, he'd get rid of the old bunch. But Christians are to relate to the world just like Jesus did. To be in it, but distinct from it. That's what they got to be. I ain't saying that's what I believe. No, sir. That's what the Word of God will teach. It will teach that. But we are to walk in love. Ephesians 5 and 3. I have this wrote down in the NIV. You don't have it up there, so I'll get it here too. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 3. Ephesians 5 and 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. In the NIV it says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because those are improper for God's people. Now you can read Ephesians 5. You can read the whole thing, and you'll see it. If you can't come up with the same teaching here, then you don't want to see it. You want to see what you want to see. I read where a rabbi had said, he said, the cure for sin is the fear of God. And that's it. That's the only thing that's going to take care of it. We can't okay it. We can't condone it. The Bible says, depart from it. Get away from it. It says not even have anything to do with those that are participating in that. That's what the Bible says. So we have to go according to that. But anyway, that's the lesson I got for today, and that's how I taught it. Lord bless you. Let's all stand.
Oh. Praise the Lord, church, if we could stand at this time. Thought I had this morning, it's in Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. It is something that we're accustomed to doing every Sunday when we come here, is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. As we walk through the door, we have that courtyard entrance into his presence. We have that coming through the front door, as you would say, into his presence as we come into the house of the Lord. But there's so much more to that, and I believe God wants us to encounter. We have a certain demeanor that we have when we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're thankful to him, and we praise him, or we praise him with a shout or with a hand clap of praise. But I believe there's times when God wants so much more for us, and there's some that have a hunger and desire for so much more for us to encounter when we get together. And it's Isaiah 6 and 3. It says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Is when Jeremiah saw God himself lifted up upon the throne. And there is one way that I would act when I enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And then there's another way I would act. It was when I would get a little bit closer to him, closer. When I would get past the gates, and when I get past the courtyard, and I want to just get into his throne room, and I want to get to where things become less earthly and more heavenly. And we have the opportunity to do that right now. And if angels would cry out to him when they got close to him, how much more should we cry out to him when we get close to him? And I love to sing and shout and dance, but I want to get so close to him that everything earthly begins to fade away and heavenly begins to appear and become evident and to become manifest in our presence, because God wants to take us to these heavenly places. He wants to sit us up in these heavenly places, and I want to encounter heavenly things here on earth. And I have an opportunity here for the next few moments to encounter a heavenly thing unlike anything else the world is able to encounter. In Jesus' name, can we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise? And I encourage everyone not to just stop there, but Lord, we want to keep moving forward in you, Lord. We don't want to stop in this courtyard. Lord, we're not content of standing by the back door of this church, in Jesus' name, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. We want to encounter more of you. You are standing there waiting for us, Lord, for us to enter into those places, Lord, that you have so desired for us to enter, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we want to be there with you here today, in Jesus' name. Worship the Lord together.
Show us your power. Show us We want to see you open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Thank you. faith. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you.
Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day.
reference. We just sang about this one. It's something that was not casually given and casually poured out. Lord, hallelujah. We want to honor you and reverence you, Lord, in this place, in this moment. Lord, that your blood was mentioned, that your blood was poured out for us. Lord, to wash away our sin, for healing, Lord, to make all things new. And I thank you for that. Lord, I just want to honor you for a moment, Lord. You deserve all honor and glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we're in your presence, Lord. Lord, just a pause and thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. You deserve it. You're worthy of it, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord, where anything is possible, where anything can happen right here in this very moment, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, whether you descend like a dove or, Lord, whether you blow in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can experience, Lord, you today in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to give to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today, Lord, for every faithful and cheerful giver and the ones given by faith in Jesus' name.
Be the same.
hands. Why don't we lift our voice? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.